Chapter 20. They met in the outer precincts of the Imperial Palace, a warren of slums and crumbling ruins, crawling with a kind of human detritus the two young nobles had spent their lives avoiding. Drake had never ventured this far from the family estates, unaccompanied. As he strode into the Basilica of St. Sippius, sabre in hand, cloak flung back, he felt more alive than he had ever done before. The atrium soared above him, magnificent, even now with its walls blackened and its roof gone. Through broken rafters, he saw a mountainous heap of catacombs and huts, layer upon layer of city, the tides of history that had drowned this once noble structure beneath hovels, mines, and wreckage-strewn landing pads. The air was barely breathable, so thick with fumes that Drake could almost imagine that the basilica was restored to its former glory, its aisles and naves swimming with holy fumes, its statues, the silhouettes of magnificent priests blessing the devout legions who had battled their way to the Imperium's blessed throne world. "Beautiful," said Numar, striding through the fog, approaching from the far end of the nave. He was dressed as finely as Drake, and had the same adrenaline gleam in his eyes. Numar was just a year older than Drake, and his pale, angular features bore all the same hallmarks of nobility. He held himself with the poise and dignity of a dancer, trailing robes of silk and crushed velvet, intricately braided with the sigils of his house. Drake nodded, tearing his gaze from the blasted majesty overhead and approaching his friend. As they met in the centre of the basilica, they bowed and shared the usual civilities before drawing their blades and adopting on-guard positions. "Is it true," asked Drake, "that you spoke ill of my sister?" Numar nodded. "If I have caused injury to your family name, Janus, I apologize, but I stand by what I said. Thalia shows no respect for anything, least of all you. She has spread revolting rumors and lies. She seems determined to tarnish your good name." Drake's pulse was hammering, and he could see beads of sweat glinting on Numar's face. "I cannot let such accusations go unchallenged," he said. "She is a daughter of House Drake." Numar nodded. For the first time in his life, Drake felt like a man. His father's words echoed around his head.
"Without your name, you are nothing, and without honour, you are not worthy of your name."
"No one must know," he said. Numar's serious facade cracked for a moment. "My punishment would be as terrible as yours, Janus." "Then let us begin," said Drake. "First blood?" "First blood." They circled through the ruins, stepping lightly over toppled columns and shattered flagstones. Numar made the first strike, a desultory overhand slash, more like another form of greeting than a genuine attack. Drake parried easily, disengaged, and struck with more fury, thrusting low and fast. Numar grinned as he parried, returning the strike with an equally furious one. The duelist's blades clattered as they danced past archways and architraves, striking with ever greater speed and ferocity, stirring up banks of dust as they leapt and rolled. Drake called on every skill he had learned in the training halls of the palace, tempering his violence with elegance and control. He had sparred with his friend many times. Even as children, they had enacted mock battles across the ballrooms and terraces of their family homes. But this was different. The reason for dueling was irrelevant. They both knew it. Drake took his family name seriously, as his father had ordered him to, but they would have found some other excuse to fight soon enough. The two youths were on the cusp of manhood. The time had come to test their prowess. The duel quickly became more serious than either of them had expected. What had started as little more than a game took on a deadly earnest. Their smiles faded, and the humour vanished from their eyes. They had been lunging back and forth for nearly 10 minutes when Drake stumbled, surprised, as Numar attacked with a move he had never seen before. He rolled backwards over a piece of masonry, landed on his feet, and brought up his blade in time to parry the blow. Numar's eyes were blank as he lunged again, incredibly fast. Drake parried again, but fell over another piece of shattered statue. Numar brought his blade around in a wide slash that would headed straight for Drake's face. Drake realized, incredulously, that he was going to lose the duel. He hurled himself forwards, moving with wild desperation, his reserve shattered by the idea of defeat. Numar's blade flashed across Drake's face, and pain exploded in his left eye. Blood flew from his face. Drake had lost the duel, but his momentum carried him forwards. His attack was too fast and clumsy for Numar to anticipate. Drake thudded into Numar and landed a thrust of his own. The two friends ended up face to face, their noses almost touching. A horrible sense of foreboding gripped Drake as Numar's face twisted into a grimace. Drake loosed his sword and stepped back. The blade was embedded, hilt deep, in Numar's chest. Numar's seconds rushed forwards, crying out in alarm as Numar dropped to his knees, a dazed look on his face as he gripped the sword jutting from his breast, crimson bubbling between the fingers of his white gloves. "Leave!" hissed Drake's seconds, grabbing him by the shoulders and pulling him away. Drake was so shocked that he did not think to object as they bundled him from the basilica. As they carried him off, Drake was barely aware of the pain in his eye. He felt as though Numar's blood was washing him away, a crimson tide hurling him towards damnation. He closed the eye that had not been blinded, giving in to the sensation of weightlessness. Then the reality of what he had done hit home. He had left his friend to die. Whatever the consequences, he could not simply flee. "No!" he cried, opening his eye. Rather than the slum-crowded terror, he saw a clear, star-filled sky, the kind of sky that had not been seen in Terra for millennia. Dozens of shimmering constellations turning slowly in a sable void. He was about to cry out for his seconds to halt when he realized he was alone, lying flat on his back in the darkness, agony pulsing up from his wrist, through his shoulder, and into his chest. His heart was hammering erratically, skipping and racing as the pain in his side grew. He tried to sit. The pain tripled, and he vomited over his cuirass, groaning. It felt like someone had put a knife in his jugular. His heart stuttered and stopped, then raced and missed several more beats, before finally settling into a steady rhythm. He reached down and felt the device at his wrist, still sparking the electric charge that had stopped and restarted his heart. As he touched it, he remembered everything. He was not on Terra. He was in the heart of the Blackstone Fortress. Despite the agony thrumming through his veins, he laughed. "It worked!" His voice was hoarse and strange. He managed to sit and look around. He was on a gridded platform made of the same onyx-like material as the walls, and behind him was a smooth ramp leading back up to the aqueduct. Black liquid was crashing down behind him, vanishing through the holes of the grid. A few splashes were landing close to him, so remembering the charred corpses, Drake dragged himself away from the weir, wincing as arcs of energy sparked down from his wrist and across his chest. When he was sure he was clear, he took a look around. The grid appeared to be floating in space. The platform ended a few feet away from him, and from there on there was only stars, blinking at him from every direction. He unclasped the strap, took a deep breath, and wrenched it free. Blood rushed from his wrist, but the wounds were not deep. He took a bandage from a pouch on his belt and bound them. Then he climbed unsteadily to his feet. He was a mess. His coat and boots were charred, and his cuirass was covered in vomit. His clothes were dark with blood, and his heart was still skipping the odd beat. He wiped down his breastplate and took a few deep, slow breaths, trying to steady his pulse. Something had changed. His mind was not his own. Since landing on the Blackstone, he had felt an alien presence staring into his thoughts. But now it was in his thoughts, bound to his conscience. Thanks to the axial interrupter, he had been revived. But he also felt altered. He looked around again. The air was brittle and cold. Even now he could see frost glittering in the folds of his coat. But it was still air. If he were really out in the void, he would already be dead. This must just be another chamber in the Blackstone. He stepped to the edge of the platform and reached out. He was still holding the interrupter, and he waved it back and forth. To his surprise, it collided with the stars, causing them to spark and blink. They were not distant, but tiny. A dazzling microcosm, clouds of miniature suns hovering in the air all around him. He knelt and reached down. His hand bashed against a hard surface. There was a floor. It was just polished to such perfect sheen that it reflected the stars above. Carefully, he stepped from the platform. The mirrored floor took his weight, but as Drake stepped into the stars, they detonated against his clothes in a series of little explosions. They sounded like dead leaves, crushing underfoot, harmless and inconsequential, but each miniature supernova burned on his coat, scorching away the cloth and scattering little flames through the air. Now that he was standing amongst them, Drake could see that the star field was finite. There was a wall in the distance, a few hundred feet away, and if he squinted hard, he could make out the outline of a door. There was no way back, so his route was clear. He took a few steps, still unsteady from his recent resurrection, but sensing that he was moments away from his goal. He picked up his pace, but quickly realized a problem. Every star he passed through died, blazing angrily against his face and clothes, and after a few minutes, his coat was blistering and smouldering. The stars had even burned through his skin in some places, leaving painful lesions. Drake paused. He was not even halfway across, but his coat was already starting to collapse, and the shaven part of his head, either side of his topknot, was blistered and smoking as the embers ate into his skull. By the time he reached the other side, he would look like a revenant, burned and bleeding, like one of those ruined devotees in the Helmsman. The constellations were more densely packed in the centre of the chamber, and his skin was already raw with dozens of burns. "You lack steel," he heard Thalia say. "You will always fail." He gritted his teeth and strode on, ignoring the pain as dozens of little fires erupted over his clothes and face, scorching and smoking as they blistered his skin. The pain grew worse as he reached the centre of the chamber. His uniform was ablaze in several places now, and he could barely see through the cloud of fireballs igniting all around him. It occurred to him that he might die. The flames were crackling across his whole body. He felt as though he were in a storm of acid. An image of Pius Vaughan entered his thoughts. He was still perturbed by the thought that she was willing to burn for her faith, despite her perfectly rational fear of such a fate. "If I burn, I burn," he thought. "But I am not turning back." He broke into a run, charging headlong through an exploding universe, trailing flames and sparks, a brilliant comet punching through the firmament.